Let's talk. The normal process, the everyday process of church, is one that I am absolutely bent on making sure that we change, so that we look more like the body of Christ and less like a trained group of people who just know what to say at the right times and do the right things at the right times. And it starts now in this demographic, from where you are socially, where you are in terms of your age, where you are in terms of your position in society, who you are now. This is when this starts. Because what you do now will directly inform what the church looks like in 10 years. Should the Lord tarry, which means if Jesus waits, for all of you who's like, Terry, what does Terry mean? I don't even know nobody named Terry.
Pastor Terry.
Except Pastor Terry. She preaching. Who are you talking about? The Lord ain't Terry. Terry. If the Lord waits and doesn't come back, between now and the next 10 years, the next 15 years, you are the church. And so this is what I need for tonight. I want to set out some just ground framework. I need you to be looking at me. And normally I wouldn't say don't take notes, but tonight I'm going to say don't take notes. If you want notes, go back and hit the podcast. If you can't get to the podcast, talk to me. I'll send you the podcast. I'll send you a CD. I'll send you an MP3. I'll do something. I'll send you. Well, I don't even have notes. If I ain't got notes, you can't have notes. Doggone it. I want to talk about you for a few minutes. And I want to talk about you in the sense of this. And I want you to ask yourself this question. The first question, well, a series of questions. The first question is this: am I serious? That's the first question. Am I serious? And then I'm gonna clarify that question a little bit. Am I serious about God? I don't want you to ask yourself, am I serious about 1440? I want you to ask yourself, am I serious about God? You can get that answer in your head. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't need you to tell me what the answer is. Question number two is this: am I satisfied with the way I look now? And I don't mean the way you look, like the clothes that you have on or how your eyebrows sit or whether or not one ear is bigger than the other. That doesn't concern me very much. If you one leg is longer than the other one and you kind of walk with the duck walk, that's between you, Jesus, and whatever. Respond to the healing altar call. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, do you like what you see in the mirror? In every aspect of your life, not just physical, but when you look in your spiritual mirror. Some of you have never looked in your spiritual mirror and actually looked at yourself. What is the spiritual reflection that you give back? What does your spiritual reflection look like? Do other people see your spiritual reflection? When people look at you, do they see God? If you just answered question number one, I'm serious about God. Question number two pertains to whether or not other people can tell whether or not you're serious about God. And if you would be honest with yourself, when you look into your spiritual mirror, do you look like you're serious about God? Question number three is this: are you ready to move? Are you ready to move? Are you ready to change your location? Are you ready to change your proximity to God? When you When you say things like, draw me closer to you, or Spirit, lead me, or let me step out and use my faith, or when you walk into a room, everything changes. When you say stuff like that, do you truly mean what you're saying, or are you saying it because the words are on the screen? Because I can promise you this. In 8 weeks, we will not look as a body the same way we look now. 8 weeks ago, we didn't look like this. And if God hasn't showed you anything, He should have definitely demonstrated to you with power and might that things will happen according to your faith. I don't know about you, but we prayed that we would have a better home than the Hangers. Well, that required us to leave the Hangers. People all the time, Lord, take me to the next level in you. Well, baby, that means you got to leave this level first. You got to come out of this one first. And then they get upset. You got to leave this level. But I don't want to leave this level. I like this level. And this level is comfortable. My butt finally fit the seat on this level. Well, you actually have to leave to get to the next one. And so if God hasn't demonstrated anything in 1440 is this. He will do what you ask Him to do. He's faithful and just. And He is going to accomplish the thing that you send His word to accomplish. His word carries His weight, full faith and credit of heaven. It's heaven's currency. His word backed by your faith is heaven's currency. And it goes and it gets, it procures, it buys, it moves, it changes, it rearranges so that what you sent the word to do is accomplished. And so what we're going to be sending, we're going to increase our sending over the next 8 weeks. We're going to get into some prayer, and we're going to get into some talking about communication with God and what happens when you start to pray, and you're going to become a believer, you're going to become an understander of what happens in your prayer life when you begin to talk to the Almighty God who has chosen to call you His child. And when you begin to assert that authority, when you begin to speak those words and you begin sending them places and asking for things, God is faithful and He's going to give you what you ask for. The question is this: are you ready for what you ask for? Because most people your age would say, I'm ready. But most people your age, when the time comes, are not really ready. We're just going to talk real. Let's talk real. But I don't have teenagers. I'm not raising teenagers. I'm raising disciples. We're raising up sons and daughters. And so I want to get you out of the most people your age category by preparing you for what is about to come. When you ask God for something, God is going to do what you ask Him to do. And since He's going to do what you ask Him to do, are you ready? Or are we just going to play Christian? Are we going to be Christian on Wednesday night and not Christian on Friday and not Christian on Monday? Are we going to talk faith on Sunday morning but then not live faith on Saturday evening? You see, over the course of my life, what God has taught me is this. I'm constant. You're the one that changes, John. John, you are the one that changes. You change. You flip-flop. You go back and forth. You have different feelings and different emotions, and you have a tendency to listen to your flesh as opposed to listening to your spirit, but I don't change. And so when you're doing things and enforcing things and asking for things and seeking things and prompting things and opening things up in the spirit realm, when you step over into that place of spirit, What you are doing is you're in my zone. This is my wheelhouse, John. I'm telling you what God tells me. This is my wheelhouse. This is where I control things. And when you step over here and you start doing things in my wheelhouse, as my son, I honor what you do on this side. And what happens on this side controls what happens on the physical side, not vice versa. And so the physical realm has no control over what happens in the spirit. The spirit realm will always have control over what happens in the physical. That is why we take time, listen to me and watch this. That's why we take time to teach you that truth and fact are different. Truth will always supersede fact. Fact does not inform truth. Truth is not hindered by fact. So fact, maybe I have a cold. Truth says you're healed. Fact, maybe I don't have the money to go in and pay for the thing that I want. Truth says you have all things according to his riches and glory. So there's a difference between truth and fact. And so what God has had to teach me in my life is when you step over into the realm where you start to look like me and be the one that you're called to be, which is the righteousness of God, when you start to bear my image, you start to initiate an outpouring of my glory. And my glory will pour out even when you go back into the physical realm and you don't feel like it. And the only reason, I'm telling you what Jesus tells me, what God tells, this is how we talk. The only reason you don't see the manifestation in the physical is because you've not made yourself ready in the physical. You see, God will only push you and prompt you and pour out his glory on you to the level that you're ready to receive it. Here's why. If I had time, and I'm literally not taking a lot of time, that's why I didn't come up here with a bunch of notes. Don't worry, I am going to read out of the Bible. I'm still a preacher. But if I had time to teach you, what I would teach you is this, and some of you, I won't say older, some of you more mature Christians in the room can attest to this. What the Bible calls glory, the weight of God. It is his presence, his manifested presence. Jerry Savelle said it like this. The manifestation of God's glory is the goodness of God, the power of God, and the, hang on a second, hand me my notebook. I want to make sure I give it to you right. I don't want to mix in it. Mix or mince anybody's words. So let me make sure I get this right. The manifested presence of God, the manifested power of God, and the manifested goodness of God. So God's not going to manifest his presence, his power, and his goodness to a degree that you cannot stand it. Now, he'll pour out blessings to a degree that you cannot receive them, because out of that overflow comes a sowing and an expansion of your ability to take in what he's giving you. But he's not going to pour out, he's not going to put more power on you than you're ready to deal with, for two reasons. Number one, because the power of God is truly the power of God. It's truly the power of God. We're not talking about like, oh, the goo-goo feelings and the hair stands up on your arms and I just feel the No! We're talking about the for real though power of God. The kind of power of God that changes your life, that rearranges things. The same power that where God spoke and said light be and light was, that same power is the power that we're talking about. We're talking about the presence of God that shakes doorposts off their frames and inhabits the totality of the world so that you can pray, I can pray, she can pray, he can pray, and all of them can pray, and he hears all of us individually and loves all of us at the same time. Now, you go try to do that, baby. People call you schizophrenic. We're talking about the goodness of God on a level that you don't know how to be good. He's better to you than you are to yourself. But he's not going to visit you with that manifestation of his glory until you're ready. Because if he did, it would hurt you. If he did, it would hurt you. It would do more harm to you than good. Here, my truck is a powerful truck. I won't go through the specifications of my truck, but I'm not here to preach about my truck, but my truck is a powerful truck. Samuel is my son. And so, if what the Bible teaches is true, everything that is mine belongs to Samuel, and Samuel has access to it. And I can tell you this, Samuel would love the opportunity to drive my truck. He would love it. He would love it. He has these trucks that he plays with at home. He's like, all over the carpet. And if I told him he could drive my truck, he'd be like, psh, and go drive my truck. But here's the thing. I won't give him that amount of power because he's not ready. Why? Because if I gave him that amount of power right now, he'd hurt himself. He'd hurt himself. Or he'd hurt somebody else. You have access to all the power in heaven. But until you're ready, God's not going to give it to you, because if he does, you're going to hurt yourself or somebody else. So the question is this. Are you serious? Are you serious? Do you like what you see right now? Do you like where you are right now? And are you ready to move? Are you ready to move? Because in order to prepare you for the outpouring of the glory of God, which I believe that we're stepping into, we need to start being serious about our relationship with God. We need to stop. Listen to me. I feel the daddy all over me. We need to stop pretending. 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 God is real good at recognizing a fake, and he will not pour his power out on someone who is pretending to have proximity, who is pretending to have a relationship, who is pretending to be in love. You don't even like it when people pretend to be in love with you. And so I hear this in the spirit, and I'm just going to say it, and I might get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. I knew a preacher who said it this way. God calls human intimacy outside of marriage, human physical intimacy outside of marriage, fornication. And so he will not allow you to be close to another human being on that level without a covenant of marriage. And so if he won't allow you to fornicate with each other, what makes you think he's going to allow you to fornicate with him? If he won't allow you to be intimate with each other outside of covenant, what makes you think he's going to allow you to be intimate with him outside of covenant? So we got to stop pretending. Number two is we have to be okay with leaving where we are for greater. Number three is we have to take a hard look at ourselves and say, God, what do I need to do to go to my greater? We're talking about going to greater. What do I need to do in my life to go to my greater? Let me see that Bible. If I can have the worship team come on back. I told y'all I'm going to read out the Bible just so that I can say that I'm a real preacher. I'm a real boy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30 says this, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, this is what Jesus is for us, wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He's your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification. So when you glory, you need to glory in him. You can't glory in him without being close to him. And you can't glory in him without divorcing yourself from all the stuff that you see in your personal mirror and taking a picture of all of your failures, all of your issues, all of your faults, all of your shortcomings, and looking at them every time you begin to start to glory in him. So some of you got to get out of this situation, this mindset that says that I got to do better in order to be better. No, you just got to get with the one who is better. And then you'll start being better because you will start to be him. Oh, you don't believe me? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Well, where do we look at ourselves? In the mirror. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, so the question then becomes, why is it that I'm not looking like Jesus? The answer is this: you haven't spent enough time looking at Jesus. Because whatever you're looking at is what you will start to look like. So if you're constantly looking at what you used to be, you will constantly start to manifest what you used to be. I used to cut. You keep looking at that, you'll cut. I used to have a foul mouth. You keep looking at your foul mouth, you'll have a foul mouth. I used to have issues with my parents. I used to not be able to look at me and like me. I used to have low self-esteem. I used to have issues with boy relationships, girl relationships. I used to. And as long as you look at that, that's what you'll be. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you really want to go from glory to glory, it's going to take some transformation. How do we transform? By looking at Jesus. By looking at Jesus. So the question is, are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? And if you're serious, do you like where you are right now? Do you like what you see right now? And if you're serious and you don't like what you see right now, then are you ready to leave where you are right now? And if you're serious and you don't like what you see right now, and you would say, I'm ready to leave right now, then the question is this: what are you going to look at to transform yourself so that you can leave where you are now to go to the next glory? Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. We are about to go on the ride of your lifetime. We are about to go on the ride of your lifetime. So for every one of you that has said, I want to see cancer healed, get ready, we're going there. And for every one of you that said, I want to see people saved by the hundreds, get ready, that's where we're going. For every one of you who have said that I want to see my life change, I want to see my family's life change, I want to see redemption, I want to see the manifestation of miracles. If you're talking about this God, I want to see the realness of God. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see the spiritual gifts of God. The Bible says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. If that's where you are, that's where we're headed. We're getting ready to go. Are you on the bus or are you staying where you are?
Coming.
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? I'm ready to start living out our motto. Every minute. Every day, all for the glory, all of them, not some of them, not a few of them, not sectioned off parts, not the part I put on my calendar or where I go on Sunday or where I go on Wednesday or who I talk. I'm talking about all of them, my Facebook time, my internet time, my study time, my friend time, all every minute of every day, all for his glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Billy Brim said we will don the, it's this year is the year that we don the glory. Brother Savelle's preached about getting ready to don the, every Sunday morning, Pastor George stands up and says we declare the glory. We are a glorious church. The Bible calls you a glorious church. He calls his church glorious. There's so much that characterizes you that concerns glory. Are you ready for glory? Are you ready for glory?
Come on.
Well, the only way we get to glory is we look at it. We look at him. We look at him. Have you looked at him lately? Have you looked at him lately? Have you looked at him lately? Have you looked at him? Have you looked at him? Have you looked at it? Have you looked at it? Have you looked at it? And maybe if you're not seeing it, maybe you're looking at the wrong place. Because if you're looking at the cross to find him, he's not there.
That's good.
He's not there, and you shouldn't be there either. He's not at the cross. You were at the cross the day you got saved. That's where you were at the cross. And the day you got saved, you walked on past the cross. You walked on past the cross. You walked on past the cross, and you walked to the tomb, and your sins were buried with him, but you walked on past the tomb. And now you're in a place where you can see him. And if you're seeing him for who he truly is, he's the righteousness of God seated next to the Father, ever making intercession for me and for you. He is giving you the power that he has given. All power has been given unto me. Have you looked at him? Because that's who you're trying to be. That's what we're being transformed into. That's what we're being transformed into. So I want to dare you. Don't you dare stand on your feet and sing this song and not mean it. Because you're playing with God. And don't you dare stand on your feet and sing this song right now and you can't sing it in front of your friends. Don't you dare stand on your feet and sing this song right now and you're not ready to go to leave the place where you are and become changed into his image. But if you're serious, I'm calling you on the carpet, 1440. You're going to make a decision tonight.
That's right.
Because we are setting the atmosphere to go into a place of glory. And I won't take you there if you're not ready. And you don't need to go there if you're not ready. But you can get ready in a moment's notice. You don't take 12 steps and we ain't got to clean you up. We don't have to talk to you about your sins and get you in counseling and get you to confess a lot of stuff. No, all you got to do is say, God, I want to look like you. Are you ready? Are you ready? And so we're going to do it this way. You sit where you are. And you make a decision. For some of you, it'll take less than 2 seconds. For others of you, you may seriously have to talk, think about it. You may seriously need to pray about it. How serious are you? But when you, once you get to a place where you say, I'm serious, I'm ready, then I don't want you to come up here and sing a song. I want you to come up here and declare a prayer. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. I'm done being led by my flesh. I'm done being led by society. I'm done being led by my friends. I'm done being led by my feelings. I'm done being led by my emotions. I'm done being led by the things that I see around me. I'm done being led by anything except the Spirit, because you are the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'm looking at you, trusting that your word says, as long as I keep my eyes on you, I'm transformed into your image from glory to glory. So can I have these lights? Oh, I wanted them all off. This is between you and Jesus. So now you make the decision. You make the decision. And once you've decided, stand to your feet.